Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For this third Sunday of Advent, the joy week, if we could call it that, and that's why the candle is pink. And so it's basically a time of celebrating the joy that God gives to us. You know, and it's like my wife said when she was about 5 years old, "The joy of the Lord is my strength. What is yours?" She was being kind of reprimanded by somebody that she'd be a little more serious, you know. And that's kind of the interesting thing, right? We look at five-year-old children and we think that they should walk around like some sort of doctorate. They're children. Let them live. But I also came to a point of thinking, why do we get so anxious at Christmas time? It's like one of the most beautiful seasons of the year. And we have a tendency to worry about a lot of things. So I went off cue and I want to have a message about anxiety. Because I know I get very anxious at Christmas time. And my wife always has to remind me that, you know, December 9th, you were diagnosed with B-cell lymphoma years ago. And so that Christmas season to me was high strung. I didn't have my first chemo until January, so I think I spent basically 2-3 weeks just wondering what it would be like, you know. I remember one time I was wearing a bracelet at camp, and it said, "Cancer sucks." And I had a lady very offended at me, and she said, "Why would you wear such a thing like that?" And I chuckled, and I said, "Because it's true." She goes, "How would you know?" I said, "After 38 chemo treatments, you figure it out. It's a dumb disease." And I got that from my stepfather. "What do you mean it's a dumb disease?" "It's a dumb disease." He kept saying it. Finally, I said, "Why is it a dumb disease?" He said, "Because it kills the host. It grows and grows until it actually kills itself." I'm like, "Yeah, that's true." So it is a bad disease. This isn't about cancer. But I'm saying my wife has to remind me I get anxious every time of year. And it happens without even knowing. It's just the whole trauma of it or whatever it may have been. And so anyways, I want to speak to you. I don't know what your anxiety is. What causes anxiety? But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. Anxiety is a thief. It really is. Anxiety uses his friends, imagination, and lies to make itself stronger in your life. That's what I really think takes place. And so I pray that we can come to a point of understanding and recognizing anxiety in our life and turning it over to the Lord, letting him deal with these struggles and knowing who we are in Christ. So anyways, we're going to read. You can remain seated for this. We're going to read from Philippians. We're going to read chapter 4. We're going to read verses 4 through 8. And it is the joy week, so I chose this text. And it starts out with, "Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, focus on that. Think on these things." Amen. So I asked Judy to leave that up there. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths." This is, I think, really something we need to keep in our forefront, especially in this Christmas season. I don't know, you're probably a lot more level-headed than I am. You probably have a lot more figured out than I am. So if I'm going to over-talk myself, then forgive me for that. But I'm sure that some of us can relate. 2 o'clock in the morning, you're sitting there in your laying there and your wife is irritating you because she's sleeping so calmly. Or your husband's irritating you because he's sleeping so calmly. But something has you awake. Something is eating at you inside. And you don't know, I mean, maybe for you it could be you're starting a new job. Maybe it's you don't know what you're going to do about the furnace that's getting old and you don't have the funding to take care of it. Maybe it's about your children going wayward or not understanding. Maybe it's about five-hour meetings at Houghton Courthouse. Maybe it's about, you know, your children's future. Maybe it's about, does God see me? Does God know me? I remember one night I got woken up in the middle of the night, and I started fixating. I have a very good friend when I was going through, this isn't going to be about cancer, but I was going through cancer. And I have a very good friend that out of the blue sent me a check. And it was like $5,000. And he says, this is for future work that you'll do for me. This is 6 years later, I'm laying in bed. I never thought about it again. I did work for this guy for years and years and years. And it robbed every bit of sleep for me 6 years later. Never once did we talk about it. Never once did we have one conversation. Never did he bring it to my attention. And I was worried. How am I going to pay him? I totally forgot. Did I steal from this guy? It was consuming me. And I'm telling you, in the middle of the night, you know, someone told me, do you know that there's actually like 36 hours between midnight and 5 a.m.? You sit there and you worry and you have anxiety and you think, the next morning I couldn't wait for 8 o'clock to call my friend. I couldn't wait. Anxiety and worry and stress robbed me of a complete night's sleep. When I called him and I told him what I was worried about, he says, I knew you wouldn't take the money and you needed it. I didn't care about that money. It was a gift. You lost sleep for nothing. How many times do we have to understand that God has the answer before we ask the question? That God always sees the whole story. And it's hard for us because I think one part of it is it's my control. I want to control what's happening in my life. But then on the other hand, I turn around and I say, but God's will be done. Which way is it? Which way is it? So I don't know what wakes you up at 2 in the morning. You know, I mean, isn't it irritating? You fall asleep, you go to bed by 11, you fall asleep, you're thinking, man, I'm sleeping so good. Then you got to get up and go potty because you're an old man or an old lady. That's me. I'm a man. I'm not a lady. I'm not confused like the courthouse. But the point of it is, the reality of it is that it sits there, and as soon as you wake up and you go to lay back down, something pops in your head. And it starts churning and churning and churning. I have a friend. He sits over there in that pew. He gave me a book, and it was Max Lucado, I believe, and it was Travel Lightly. And he talks about how we carry such burdens in our life that we don't need to carry, that we can trust the Lord. And I remember one night when I was having one of these churning moments, I went to Scripture, I went through the Psalm 23, I went through all that stuff, but then I went to that book and I opened it. And he really basically talked about surrendering it over to God and understanding he holds us. So that's what I would ask. When you find yourself at 2 in the morning, when you find yourself in that struggle, hand it over to the Lord. Because what are you going to do about it? And so this is really what he's coming down to. Now, Paul is trying to encourage. He says, rejoice. You know, we look at the Christmas season. Why do we get anxious? Family is coming. Food has to be prepared. Gifts need to be bought. I don't know what my MasterCard balance is, but I got to get 2 more gifts for the grandkids. I don't know what's going on. I got to think about Christmas. It happens, as we said last week, on December 25th every year, but somehow we're surprised. We're just surprised. But second of all, it's in the middle of the winter when plowing is going on. You need snow tires on your rig. You know, you have to get new shoes and boots for the kids or winter coats for the kids. There's a lot of things that pile up in the winter just before Christmas that you've got to get prepared for. To be honest, you're probably strapped. And so then we start thinking of these things, and it brings up anxiety. We live in a day and age also, and it's not to pick on anybody, but it is very difficult where we live in blended families, a lot of us. We've had children with other spouses, we've had divorces going on, and we actually have to start getting together for the family. Ours, in my life, was religion. My grandmother was a staunch Catholic. My father's parents were staunch apostolics. And every time we got together, it was just stress in our personal home because my mom and dad were fighting over who we're spending Christmas with. These are man-made things that cause anxiety in our life where we have to just let go of them. I told you I felt a little unction of pain with the first Thanksgiving we ever had, and my oldest son was not with us. He went to Japan for the Thanksgiving season. I have sympathy for all of you that have not had your family around for these seasons. It's difficult. And I'm not trying to make light of any of these problems, but I'm saying, hand them over to the Lord. Give them to Him and ask Him to give you the ability to work through this process. The first thing we need to focus on, rejoice. Thank you. And it sounds trite and it sounds trivial, but thank you, Father, that I have a son I can miss. Because I wondered if I'd miss him. It's in my humanness, him and I butt heads. But you know what? I've been blessed with that. Rejoice in the Lord. Thank you, Father, that I have a home and I have a family to worry about stressing over these things. The gifts, they don't matter. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. But your children will still love you. Your spouse will still love you. I went full bore this year. I blew so much money on my wife. I bought her Jerusalem. We were over at Arlene Sikowski's the other day, and she had this little Fisher-Price, Fisher-Price manger set. And kids love to play with your manger sets, right? And they break little hands off and they do this. My wife was so excited over Arlene's looking at that. I went on Amazon, $29. I bought her Jerusalem. And now the kids can play with it. It's not the amount. It's the thought. It's the thought. But rejoice in the Lord. Understand this is a season of love. This is a season of not being stressed out about everything else. Who cares if you don't have roast beef? Some people don't have shoes on their feet. I'm not saying this to be trite again, but it's just like we worry about the small details when it comes to the Christmas season. For unto you a child is given, a Savior. This is why we remember this. He says, and I'm going to repeat it. In through this struggle, in through this difficulty. And he knows the Philippians, they had a lot of struggles going on. But he says, again, I'm telling you, rejoice. He says, be sensible in your thought. He says, be sensible in your worship. Be sensible in your life. Don't think that you have to make a big splash with everybody. He says, let, you know, your reasonableness be known to everybody. And I think this is important too. Even for the youth that we're serving at Christmas, your kids don't have to get every single gizmo that's going to put you backwards for the next year. Let them see that you are trusting, that you're reasonable, that you're planning. But also understand, your love isn't shown in monetary. Your love is shown in time, in words. She's not here today because we had a granddaughter that was sick. But she's my daughter's been trying very hard to do more activities with the children. They've been going ice skating. They've been doing, you know, park days, things like that. That is so valuable. So, you know, don't get stressed out about all of the commercialization, if we could say it in this way. But let everybody see that God is first in your life. The Lord is at hand. And then he goes, don't be anxious. There are a lot of things to worry about. There are a lot of serious issues. But which one of us can change it by worry? Remember Betty Rohanen? Sister Betty? She was awesome. I've bragged about her a few times. God, when I brag about people, it's what God does in their lives for me. You know, in other words, that's what I see, what Christ does for them. First time I went to her house to visit, she gave me this little magnet still on my refrigerator. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere. Don't be anxious. And he's not saying that you're not going to have struggles. But he says, pray about it. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to him in supplication. Lord, help me. You know, and it can be about all kinds of things. I'll give you an example. I have a very close friend who I love very much, and she and a bunch of her friends wanted to take a big trip. It was a big, expensive trip. And she couldn't really afford to. Young children, young families, you know, basically single income. And she couldn't. And she was really getting stressed because she saw everybody else going. But she couldn't. And she was getting angry about it. But her and I talked about it. We prayed about it. And we asked that God would reveal to her. And she said, it wasn't long after prayer and meditation on this that the Lord revealed to her, this is not your time. And there might be a purpose for the others to go, that they could have alone time. See, it's not always about what I want, but what is best for the whole body. Some of the struggles that we go through, we may not fully understand. We might have anxiety about it, but Lord, what do you want out of this situation? How can this help others? How can this help people grow? How can this help me grow? In other words, when you are anxious, stop focusing on the anxiety. Stop focusing on the can'ts and ask God, what is? What will be? What can be? He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, but thankful. Thankful for what we do have. Even as silly as I sound saying, I'm thankful I have a son that I could miss. Because some people don't even have that. Be thankful in a situation. He says, but let God know. And this is, I think, the truth. We got to be bold with our Lord. Yes, we have a reverence for him, but share with him what's in your heart. Share what you're struggling with and see what he can do with that. How he can open that up. And so he says, you know, really, make your requests known to God. He says, and when you do this, he's going to take over. This is what we mean by handing it over. There's a lot of things that we just don't know. Should I go on this trip? Should I not go on this trip? Lord, you know. Guide me. Lead me. I'm going to give you a carnal example. I got to get moving because we got to get done. But it's almost 4 o'clock, so we got to get going. But anyways, I had a friend, very good friend. He had a business, and he was thinking he should buy a new truck. And he kept praying about it and praying. And when he's saying new to this guy, it's 10 years old. It wasn't a big investment. And he finally said, I don't know. I can't make the decision to buy this because I don't know if God wants me to. Have you ever been there? I just don't know if God wants me to. And he's not telling me. Finally, I looked at him and I said, do you really think God cares if you have a truck or not? And he looked at me and I said, seriously. I mean, the world is at war. There's famines everywhere. There's all kinds of things going on. Do you think really this pickup truck is the biggest thing on his item? And he goes, well, I guess I never looked at it that way. And I said, well, I'm just saying, go for it and see what happens. And if he doesn't want you to have it, he's a big boy. He can stop you. But if we wait for every stoplight in Marquette, well, there's no more, they got those roundabouts. In Boston, every stoplight to turn green before we go forward, we're never going to go anywhere. We trust, we hand it over to the Lord, we move forward in faith, and when He wants us to move, we pliable, we move. Maybe you start out taking that trip. Maybe you think you have a plan. This is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to go, and this is what I'm going to say. And next thing you know, God says, you're on that trip, but you're going here. Paul, don't go there. Paul, I want you to go here. And when you go there, He opens a whole different door. So He says very plainly, pray about it. Ask God. Allow Him to lead you. Allow Him to actually be the one in control of these things. He says, and when you hand it over to Him, you will have the peace of God. He'll give you that understanding. He says, and this peace is going to, surpass all understandings. What that means is, blows your mind away. How did that even work? I wanted to do this, this, and this, but I asked God, and He led me on the path, and now this is where I am? How does that even work? It's God. He's much bigger than our circumstance. He has a bigger answer than our situation. He knows exactly what is good for us. He says, that'll surpass all understanding. He says, also, He's not just going to put you in that situation. He will guard your heart. He says, He will guard your heart and your minds. He'll keep focused on Christ. When it's not about you and your situation, and you trust that God is in the leading, He will lead, protect, and guide. This is what we need to do. So at 2 o'clock in the morning when you can't sleep because you don't know what you're going to do about that broken transmission, trust Him. Hand it over to Him. He says, finally, brothers, this is what I want you to do. Whatever is true at that five-hour meeting at the Houghton Courthouse, person that just went before me said, what is truth? Reminded me of Pontius Pilate, big time. Because the world is asking that. Don't get me wrong. They're serious. Because they've been fed a lie so many years and so deep, they don't know what truth is anymore. We do. Truth is God's word. Truth is Christ Jesus. Whatever is true, His word, Him, whatever is honorable, He is the most honorable. Whatever is just, perfect, right, whatever is pure, there is only one that has ever come to this earth and been and remained pure. Whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, one that we should look up to, one that we should desire to be like, if there's any excellence, there is no other name above His name. If there's anything worthy of praise, He is the only one that is worthy of praise. He says very plainly, in your difficulty, in your struggle, as bad as it is, look to Christ. Look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food? Christmas time, I want you to think about that. It's not about that great meal. It's good, but it's not all about that. Isn't the body more than clothing? I know us boys didn't like getting clothing, but it's more than toys too. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather into barns. Yet the Heavenly Father, He feeds them. He says, don't you have more value than a sparrow? Than a chickadee? Which of you by being anxious, laying there at 2 o'clock in the morning, Mr. Aho, can add a single hour or a single minute to his life? Actually, doctors told me, I've had shingles, I've had ulcers, and I've had cancer. Every one of them, the doctors told me, anxiety. It's robbing you. It's robbing you. And the more you think about that, the more anxious you get. But turn to the Lord. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's any worthy praise, think on these things. Think on Christ Jesus. He says, why are you anxious about clothing? Because we're vain. Jesse's vain. Consider the lilies of the field. He says, they grow, but they don't toil. They don't spin. I tell you, Solomon, the richest man on earth, he wasn't arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow thrown into the oven for a quick small fire to cook something, will not he much more clothe you? Has God taken care of you in the past? Will he not do in the future? Oh, ye of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? For the Gentiles seek after these. And he says, the unbelievers chase these things. He says, and your heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Doesn't mean all our problems will go away, because he says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, because you know what? Tomorrow will have enough of problems. You won't run out. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Look to the Lord. So that is my prayer for each and every one of us in this Christmas season, that we wouldn't get caught up in the anxiety of the hype, but rather that we would look and see what God has done and continues to do for us in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That no matter what may be going on around us in this world, whether it's downtown Houghton or somewhere in a big city, that we don't have to worry. We just need to keep speaking, preaching, and teaching truth. And that truth is Christ Jesus and him alone. Merry Christmas. It's going to be good. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen.